So welcome in Ryan Rashog from TSN. We're solving all the real issues, Stalker. I don't really care about
well,
the
I'm
NHL.
I'm not a doctor.
I care about grilled cheese.
I'm not a doctor, but I did just have two pieces of pizza. I'm ashamed to. I'm ashamed to say. So.
Hey, and guess what? Have you ever had really bad pizza? Like, honestly?
I would say yeah.
But you kept eating it?
No, I've shut it down on pizza. I think really? I was overseas somewhere. I'm trying to remember where. I ordered one to the hotel room, and I was overseas, and I remember just feeling so frustrated and just wanting to come home. Like, being delivered a bad pizza, I just wanted to shut it down. Put me on a plane. Get me home.
That's almost unheard of. I can't believe it. That must have been a really bad pizza. Was it in Russia?
Can't remember. I don't know. I've traveled around too much. But I definitely remember the feeling that I got, being disappointed in pizza to that extent. And, you know, you just want a piece of normalcy. You know, you're all the way over wherever I was. And, let's get a pizza. Yeah, let's get a margarita pizza.
I'm sure you just turned on your headphones and put Timberlake on to soothe you, so that was good.
So we have a doctor coming on to chat about some stuff. I think it's good. I think it's important, relevant conversation right now to, you know, I think people are probably wondering what all of this means, and I don't know how many people are running around thinking that this puts them in danger in any way, shape, or form. I'm not sure if people are wondering that or not. Bigger question I have is more, are they going to be able to pull this off with the players safely? You know, and there's probably more chance that there's an issue with making sure the players all get through, you know, without any positive tests and such than danger to the general public. But I guess that would be for the doctor to talk about. But, you know, the general idea of trying to go start to finish without a single player testing positive in either hub city, that's interesting. And I wonder, we're seeing in European leagues and soccer leagues and such, there's lots of positive tests happening, you know. So that idea to me, and that's still one of the things that's a little bit unclear to me, is what happens in the event of a positive test, right?
It's true. And, you know, and that's why I want to talk to the doctor, because these players, by the time they get to the hub city, they'll have been tested at least six times in the previous 3 weeks, right, in their own city. So now they're going to be tested all that time. And I want to find out from the doctor, like, you know, I've read about there are false negatives.
Yep,
but, like,
for sure
could one player get six false negatives? Like, I guess maybe. I don't know. So those are the questions I want to ask, because if they're testing them all before they come here and no one's got it, and, you know, they've been, I guess there's always a chance you catch it in the last day, but they're probably going to be testing them all, you know, a day or two before they travel. So, you know, we got some interesting questions. So I look forward to talking to Leanne Parks.
Yeah, one of the important elements too, that if you have an opportunity to ask, or not that I'm telling you what to ask, but one of the interesting things is the idea of contact tracing. So the way it works right now, as you know, is if somebody tests positive for COVID, they have people do contact tracing. And that's where they go to them and they say, okay, who all have you been in contact with? Where have you been? And they make a list of people that have been in close contact with that positive test. Then they go to those people and they say, okay, because you were in close contact with this positive test, you now need to go self-quarantine for 14 days. And so with what Bill Daly has suggested is that the NHL could play its way through positive tests. What happens to contact tracing? Because if you go do contact tracing on a member of the Edmonton Oilers who tests positive, well, your contact tracing takes you directly to every single one of his teammates. And if everyone else has to go quarantine for 14 days, do these players not have to? Now, the NHL's answer might be, okay, but we're able to test players every single day. So we would test everybody, make sure everybody had a clean test, and then be able to safely put the rest of the team on the ice, you know, that night. But we do know that there are false negatives, and we do know that the disease incubates for a few days before you test positive, and that's why that 14-day quarantine exists, right? To get you through any incubation, to get you through any false negatives, and that's where it can run its course. So the whole notion of contact tracing, there needs to be an adjustment to the way it's being done right now to facilitate games being able to continue.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, Connor McDavid, Darnell Nurse spoke today. It was interesting, McDavid talking about, you know, he was one of the five guys on the return to play committee, and said, hey, you got to put aside your own team and look for the betterment of the league. And, you know, and a lot of people feel like the Oilers, you know, maybe got shortchanged a little bit because they're in and they were the only top two teams in their division. And, like, I've still yet to get an answer why they opted to go with 1 versus 12 rather than just stick with their regular season format and extend it to top 5 in each division and 2 wild cards. It still gets you the exact same 24 teams, but the difference is you remain against your division.
Right. Well, I'm just trying to picture that. I think, so what would the downside of doing it that way be?
There isn't
any. What would they say about that? So you're suggesting that they have the division leader, like keep the format the same but expand it, but then, so what would the other matchups be? Like what would the numbers be?
Because right now, you have the top 3 in each division and 2 wild cards, right? And so what you do, you have the top 5 in each division and then the 2 wild cards. And so what would have happened is New York and Chicago each would have been ahead of the 6th place team in the other division in their conference, so they still would have made it, right? But Minnesota would have been the one who actually came over to the Pacific, not Chicago, because St. Louis is the higher seeded team. One always gets the lowest, right? One gets 12, so right. They're in the same bracket. And then what would happen is you'd come over, 3 would play 6, 4 would play 5 in each division. It would be the only difference is that Dallas and Edmonton would be switched. That's it as far as teams not being.
But would
in
every
play-in.
Would every team be in a? So would that mean there's no play-in?
No. You would have that would be the play-in. The play-in would be within your division, and then you would just stay in your division like you do in the NHL until you get to right. the conference final.
Right. And would that take away from the traditional 4-round, 7-game series?
No. Why? It's the exact same amount of teams. You're going to play a best of 5 in the play-in, then you're going to be down to 16 teams.
Right.
4 in each division.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's an interesting idea. I wonder if they batted it around or not. Like, there's no question that the Oilers, in the grand scheme of things, took a bit of a thump here with the way this shook out. Like, no question. At the same time, I'm a little bit less... I feel like it's unprecedented times, and they're having to come up with unprecedented solutions, and... they're never going to come up with something that is perfect or that everybody's happy with, and so someone's going to be unhappy. Unfortunately for Oilers fans, it's them. But if we do get hockey out on the ice, I think it'll be a real boost for hockey fans. And we'll see what happens. I mean, if this is their year, and really if they are good enough, then they should be able to push through the play-in, no matter who you put in front of them.
Well, and that's what McDavid said, and I agree, because there was a few people suggesting, asterisks and stuff, and I'm like, what are you talking about? If anything, this playoff might turn out to be one of the more difficult ones. Players are going to have to play without fans, so they're going to have to, these are pros. They'll find ways to get motivated. The Stanley Cup is still on the line. But B, everybody's going to be more rested than ever before. Every player's going to be free. There's very little travel involved at all. Right, yep. So you're going to have more fresh players, not just in round 1 or 2, throughout the thing. Right, the only travel might be when they get to the final, right, where one got to move to another hub city, which is one flight, so pretty minimal at that point. And players rested. This will be the healthiest teams have been to start a playoff in decades. I would
assume. That might last 2 games.
Sure,
and
it might.
You've got 4 guys out with pulled groins and.
but these guys have 3. Like, they have 3 weeks of training camp, right? They're going to be put through the paces here. I'd be surprised if we're suddenly going to have a massive increase in groin injuries, because players are, the coaches will know, the trainers, they're going to be walking on everything. Okay, let's do certain drills in practice to make sure that we integrate game situations, right? Like, I'm sure nowadays with all those studies, I don't think, any type of injuries will happen just because injuries occur at any point in the game.
Yeah, I mean, every player will handle this differently, and the smart ones will take care of their business and be completely ready to go and not leave anything to chance. There will be stories of guys who came in not quite ready, and, that just happens. But, I mean, Connor made it clear from the beginning he didn't think that just jumping right in from not playing for 3 months to all of a sudden in a Stanley Cup playoff-type intensity would be fair or doable. So I haven't heard any talk about exhibition games.
Well, I thought they said each team's getting 2.
Have they said that for sure?
I thought somebody reported that yesterday, and I was like, okay,
that
makes sense.
That would make some sense to me, just so that you can give teams a chance to kind of get in there. Now, the round robin on the other side is interesting to me too, because, seeding will be important, and yes, that will matter, but I could see those teams being real careful about, you know, the way they go about their business in those round-robin games that aren't nearly as meaningful as the play-in games, you know, where they play it safe, that they distribute people's minutes differently. They, you know, it's not going to be all out at all costs like a playoff series would be. And I think it's a massive advantage for the teams on the other side not to have to be in a win-or-you're-out scenario for the first part of competition. I think that's a huge advantage, the way they can conserve energy, manage injuries and resources.
Ryan Schock from TSN. Schocker, what do you believe is not the best but the most popular sandwich?
Most popular would be a BLT.
Oh, you think more than a grilled cheese? You might be right.
BLT is pretty more variety there, right? Grilled cheese, just bread and cheese. I mean, that's fine.
But a lot of people don't like tomatoes.
Yeah. Yeah, and you wouldn't order a BLT as someone that doesn't like tomato. I would say more people like BLTs than people who don't like tomatoes. that was a weird statement. Grilled cheese is probably eaten more often because anybody, whether you know how to cook or not, should be able to smash together a grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah,
BLT,
you
need to have the ingredients on hand. What's that?
Connor just made his first ever grilled cheese sandwich last week.
What?
Yeah, I know.
What's the matter with you? Didn't you go to school? Did you go to college?
Well, yeah, he went to some uppity college, evidently. So
no, it was like the opposite of that. It was like a not very good school. It doesn't exist anymore. The owner, I think, is in jail now.
Really?
I was a pasta guy.
Do you even have a certificate of any sort of education of consequence, or are you basically not qualified to answer the phone?
It's up in the air.
So how was your experience making the grilled cheese? Did you burn it? Did you put the butter on it to make sure it didn't burn in the pan? Did you butter both sides? What did you do?
Yeah, I had a very good teacher. She taught me the right way to do it. I had the butter out, got the sides, and didn't burn it. Had a nice golden crisp to it.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the traditional grilled cheese you can make yourself. I just find they're tough. They're kind of tough to get right, and I don't know, bud. I would go lunch meat sandwich with some mayo, mustard, lettuce, some pickles on the side. I would do that 10 times out of 10 before I'd endeavor to make a grilled cheese. And then it stinks up your kitchen. You got to have the vent fan on the microwave. It's an endeavor that's not worth the finished product.
Sounds like you're a little bit of a rookie if you got to turn your stove fan on just to make a grilled cheese sandwich. It's a little bit of a rookie move. Schocker, yeah. We're going to have Dr. Parks coming on next,
great.
So we'll find out what she has to say. And this will be a great job. You've been covering this whole COVID thing in the NHL and return to play for very intently for a while. So appreciate it. We'll chat with you on Monday.
All right. I look forward to listening. Thanks, Paul.